The Lord be with you.
And also
with you. Welcome to the Lord's house on this fifth Sunday in Lent. Jesus tells us the parable of the rioting renters and an idiotic owner, who maybe isn't so idiotic. Prayers today, we include the family and friends of Brett Corvus, who is a co-worker of Cole Kemmerer, who passed away in an auto accident this past week. Don't forget Lenten service, 7:15 on Wednesday evening. This week, A God Who Thirsts. Supper is at 6:30. Rose.
Yeah, there's casseroles. There's a paper out on the table. And then during Bible class, wives will pass it around.
Okay. So sign up in the narthex. And if you're in Bible class and you haven't already signed up, you'll have a second chance. Thank you for your generosity. Almost $1,000 given for Pastor Dave and Deaconess Liz Maria Ernst last Sunday in the door offering, and I'm very grateful for your generosity. Church photos Monday and Tuesday. Don't forget your appointment. See Holly if you haven't already been scheduled. Holly, is there any additional information that we need? There you are, Holly. Sorry.
No. I
was looking back to
the
context.
Everybody in the building signed up right now.
Fantastic. Very good. Individual confession absolution each Saturday in Lent, including this coming Saturday. If 11 o'clock on Saturday isn't a good time for you, let me know and we'll schedule a time that is convenient. Holy Week services next week is Palm Sunday, a regular service, but it's a special service. Then during Holy Week, Holy Thursday, 7:15 p.m., Good Friday, either 1 or 7:15 p.m. It's the same service, two different times. No Easter Vigil this year because we have sunrise service this year. Remember, it goes every other year, so this year is sunrise service. That's at 6:44 a.m. There is a reason for that 6:44. Check your newsletter, but Jerry pointed out that the connection to John 6:44. It was, and I will raise him up on the last day. Seems like an appropriate verse. So 6:44 a.m. and 9 o'clock. Those are two different services. The 6:44 is an extra service. The primary service is the 9 o'clock service on Easter morning. Any other announcements or prayers? Greet one. Oh, Marcia. Thank you. Yes. So don't forget that. That would be at 7:45 Easter breakfast. Anything else? Greet one another in the peace of the Lord. We ask our Lord's blessing on worship this day and know that he will bless us as he comes to us in his word, in his supper, reminding us that he's an idiotic owner who isn't so idiotic. Thank you. The Divine Service, page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. You may kneel for confession, or you may sit. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in this dead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading is from the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. This is what the Lord says: He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself that they may proclaim my praise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We now continue with Psalm 126, pre-printed in the bulletin, and we begin. The Lord has done great things for us,
and we are filled with joy. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion,
we were like men who dreamed.
Our mouths were filled with laughter,
our tongues with songs of joy.
Then it was said among the nations,
The Lord has done great things for us,
and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev.
Those who sow in tears will go with songs of joy.
He who goes out weeping, carrying the seeds to sow,
will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him.
Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy.
Today's epistle reading is from the epistle of Philippians, the third chapter. If anyone else thinks that he has reasons for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count on everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus began to tell the people this parable. a man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Then he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that was written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them. And they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. The Nicene Creed, page 191. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. word of God that calls for our attention on this Lord's Day is from Luke chapter 20, today's gospel, and you may wish to pull out the insert and follow along through the sermon. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord, Jesus Christ. So Paul was an honored Pharisee. He was a prize among his people. He was probably wealthy until he became a Christian. And then, instead of all that, he got persecutions, beatings, shipwrecks, and execution. Most people would say, Paul, you gave up everything good for something lousy. Paul says, no, what I gave up was perishable stuff. What I gave up was just rubbish, stuff that can be tossed in the trash and will not last for eternity. What I've been given is something far better, though it doesn't at first appear to be. What I've been given is faith in my Lord Jesus. What I've been given is the righteousness of Christ. What I've been given is the opportunity to suffer like Jesus and then to rise with Jesus. Dear Christians, count everything that you have on this earth as rubbish, as stuff that can be tossed away because it will not last. And you have been given a prize far greater, the same that Paul was given, faith in Jesus, the righteousness of Christ, the privilege of suffering with your Savior, and then the joy of rising with him. Jesus teaches us why you have been given all those gifts in today's gospel. He tells this parable of the tenants, it's usually called, parable of the rioting renters, if you want to be more specific. But even more, it's the parable of an owner who seems like a complete idiot. As we take a look at Luke chapter 20 on your insert, I encourage you to look for two things that we ought to always look for when we're reading parables. First, where is Jesus? Who in this parable represents Christ? And secondly, where's the no way? What is it that would cause, let's say, Bartholomew to say, whoa, Jesus, there's no way that would happen in real life and you know it. So we're going to look for where's Jesus and the no way. And Jesus began to tell the people this parable. What people is he talking to? If we turn the pages back, we find out that it's all the people who are gathered there for the Passover at which Jesus is going to die in 3 days. But more specifically, it's to the chief priests and the scribes. They have been listening to Jesus. They've been arguing with Jesus. They are plotting to kill Jesus. Now, who does the vineyard? Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's do the next section. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. So who's this man represent? It's God the Father, who walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, but hasn't been seen in the same way by any human since then. It's as if he's gone off into a far country. What's the vineyard that he has planted? Well, if we look back to Isaiah chapter 5, it says, the vineyard of the Lord is his people, Israel in the Old Testament, the church now. That's you, that's me, that's all that have been made believers in Christ. And who are the tenants? Well, who is it that's supposed to be taking care of God's vineyard, God's people? I believe that would be pastors today, elders, church leaders. Back then, it would have been the chief priests and the scribes who were listening to Jesus, plotting against Jesus, and noticing that Jesus was telling this parable against them, that he was telling them that they were just as bad as, say, Ahab and Jezebel who tried to kill Elijah, or Herod and Herodias who did behead John, or they were just as bad as any of the prophet haters of old. When the time came, he sent his servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but they also beat him and sent him and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Catch what's happening here? The grapes are ripe. It's time to make wine. Mr. Mondavi sends his, he's the owner,
He sends his servant, one after another, to collect his share of the crop. And one after the other, his servants end up in the first century equivalent of the emergency room. This is an idiot owner, especially after he sent the first one in and he got beat up. Didn't he learn his lesson? Why didn't he send in some tough guys who could fight with their fists? Why didn't he call the first century equivalent of the sheriff and his armed deputies? They would have dealt with these rioting renters. But no, he sends them one after the other to get beat up. Why does God allow his people in this world today to get beat up? Why does he allow us to suffer? Why is it that he doesn't put an end to evil? You look around at the morality of our nation, it's in fast decline. Babies are being executed before they're born. Now they're trying to execute them after they're born. We've got marriage that's being made a mockery of, and God seems to take no action at all. And when he doesn't do anything about it, what's it do? It causes the rioting people of this world to keep right on rebelling against God. I say, God, take some action and do it now. I better be careful what I ask for, because I am one of those rioting renters. So are you. Look, we know it's wrong to say hurtful things about people, but don't you do it? I have to confess I do. We know sex outside of marriage is wrong, but when was the last time you warned a Christian couple living together that they were harming themselves and their relationship with God? We see abortion and pornography making a mess of our society, but too often we keep quiet. By the way, if those 60 plus million aborted children in America since Roe v. Wade had been on the American workforce and paying into Social Security, maybe those of us who are waiting to retire wouldn't be wondering if there was going to be money available in the Social Security fund to take care of us. Christian businessmen know it's wrong to take advantage of naive clients, but does that change your practice? Christian parents know that we need to be reading the Bible to our children and teaching them to pray, but do we do it? St. Paul warns us not to love the rubbish of this world that is passing away. So why do we keep on going to the stores, to the realtors, to the dealers, to buy more of what we really don't need, just to satisfy our covetous desires? Could it be because we don't believe that God would actually take any action against us? That we don't believe God would punish us? Because, hey, his track record suggests he hasn't been punishing people in the past. Doesn't that make us just like the chief priests and the scribes? Just like the rioting renters in the parable who went on doing whatever it was that they wanted because they didn't think the owner would do a darn thing about it? Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I'll send my beloved son. Perhaps they'll respect him." Can you hear Bartholomew going, "No way, Jesus, there is no way that guy would send his son into the vineyard after they'd already beat up three servants, especially when this is a beloved son?" I picture Jesus smiling at Bartholomew as he tells the story, nodding his head, as if to say, "Yep, Bartholomew, God does things a different way." And then continuing with the story. "But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours.' And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him." What gives them the audacity to kill the heir? Well, the owner hasn't done anything to them previously when they've harmed servants. Why would they expect him to do anything now? He'll stay off in his distant country. Why do the chief priests and the scribes have the audacity to kill Jesus? because they don't think there are any consequences. Why is it that people today have the audacity to persecute Christians, to turn against God, to do the opposite of what he says? Because they don't think there is going to be any punishment. But God is not ignoring things. Past performance is not indicative of future results, or in this case, a lack of past performance is not indicative of what Jesus is going to do in the future. God's not ignoring the rioting that is going on in his vineyard. He's being patient so that more might come to faith. By the way, do you remember the first thing that we were supposed to be looking for in this parable? The second thing was the no way. We already got that with Bartholomew. The first one was, where's Jesus in this parable? So if the owner represents God the Father, then the Son must be God the Son, the beloved Son who is sent into the vineyard and then beat up even worse by the renters. But in the end, those rioting renters are going to get what they deserve. The parable makes that clear. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. Do not let God's patience and his seeming lack of action fool you. Judgment is coming. When they heard this, they said, surely not. Notice Bartholomew this time doesn't have to say no way. The chief priests say it for him. Surely not. God would never take his kingdom from us Jews and give it to Gentiles. Church people today say God would never take his kingdom from folks who actually show up for church and give it to people who truly believe in him. He would never take it from us who are sometimes fake in our worship and give it to some people who are true in their worship. He might destroy other people, we think, but he would never destroy us, which is to tell God, we don't really believe you when you say that there is judgment coming. You haven't punished us in the past. We see no reason to think that you will do so in the future. We don't believe that there might be hell to pay for our actions. But Jesus looked at them, looked directly at them and said, what then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. Jesus is the rock. He is one massive cornerstone, so great that you can build your entire faith on him. But if you will not turn from your wicked ways, if you will not trust in him, then instead of building your faith on this massive cornerstone, it will fall on you and crush you. That is what the text says. Judgment day is coming. The owner of the vineyard must deal with the riotous renters, and we are among the riotous renters, so what hope do we have? We don't have any hope. Unless there is one who is willing to let the stone fall on him and crush him for our iniquities. And this is precisely what the parable promises will happen. The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on Jesus at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them. They perceived quite well. And they feared the people. The people who were at this point on Jesus' side. So they watched Jesus. They sent spies who pretended to be sincere that they might catch him in something he said so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. What Jesus is telling us is that Mr. Mondavi, the owner, is not an idiot. He is a merciful owner who does not want even rebellious renters to perish. And so he sends his beloved son, even when he knows that our sin will kill his beloved son. Oh, and this is also a parable about a beloved son who's willing to go into the vineyard knowing what is going to happen to him, because he wants you as his own. How can I be so sure that Jesus knows what's going to happen to him? Because of the words that he puts in the mouth of the owner, Mr. Mondavi, as he tells this parable. What did the owner say? I'll send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him. Respect is a key word here. In English, the word cleave can have two opposite meanings. It can mean to take one thing and split it into two, like when a butcher takes his meat cleaver and he splits one hunk of beef into two. But cleave can also have exactly the opposite meaning. It can be two things becoming one, like when a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife, and the two become one flesh. You have to read the context to find out whether cleave means one into two or two into one. The same opposite meanings are true of the word that is translated as respect in Greek. They will respect my son could also be translated, they will disrespect my son, they will humiliate my son. So which one does God mean here? Both. God knows very well that because the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, we will respect his son. We will love him. We will put our trust in him. And he knows that because of our sinful natures, we will disrespect his son. Our sin will send him to a humiliating death. But Jesus is willing to endure that humiliation, even that torture, to have you as his own. Isn't that the point of this parable? Oh, glory be to Jesus, who in bitter pains poured the lifeblood from his sacred veins and did the same for you. And in a twist of plot that only an idiot owner could come up with, which is to say, only a twist of plot that a gracious God would ever invent, the rioting renters actually end up with the vineyard as theirs. You and I end up inheriting everything that God has because of Jesus. Oh, but it's not possible for you to inherit what God has unless you're his child. And so he makes you his child, adopts you in baptism. And instead of letting Jesus crush you, he gives to you the body and blood of Jesus that was crushed for you at his altar. And now you and I get to repent and remain in the vineyard. You and I get to bear fruit. Love as we have been loved, forgive as we have been forgiven, all because of Mr. Mondavi, the idiot owner, who is really God, a gracious father, and because of his son, who willingly entered the vineyard to be killed so that you can live. In the name of Jesus. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand for the offertory, page 192.
Knit in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
You may be seated for the offering.
We stand for prayer.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, we marvel that your amazing love was willing to send your beloved Son when you knew he would be killed as a sacrifice for us. Increase our faith and hinder our resistance to you, so that we build our lives with Christ as the only cornerstone. Sustain Cassie, Connie, Sarah, Maddie, and Matthew as your baptized children. Lead them and all of us to count our earthly treasures as rubbish, because we have been given the righteousness of Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, work in your vineyard. Guide St. Mark, Zion, Emmanuel, and Zion congregations, as well as our own congregation. Unify your people in your truth, and show us when we stray from that truth. Prevent us from rebelling against you. Make us faithful workers in your vineyard, laboring for your glory and the good for others. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, raise up godly men and women as workers in your vineyard. Hinder those who do harm to your Son and his saving sacrifice. Bless the leaders of this congregation with wisdom, integrity, and understanding of your will, and the desire to do your work. Teach us to honor the preaching of your word, and to do diligently study of that word in our daily lives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, thwart those whose violence threatens lives everywhere. Establish order and peace. Guard the servicemen and women who defend us at home and abroad, and all police, firefighters, and emergency personnel who work on your behalf. Provide our country with leaders who uphold morality, defend life, and ensure justice, Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, make our homes places of faith, love, and safety. Give husbands and wives the resolve to honor the promises they made in marriage, and to care faithfully for their children. Fill children with honor for their parents and all authorities. Lead those who desire spouses to godly partners, and give contentment and joy to all who are single as they serve you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, comfort those who mourn, including the family and friends of Brett. Sustain the weary with your word, and grant patience, peace, and healing to Bill, Mel, Darnell, Jeanette, Taylor, Nina, Sharon, Don, Matt, Tara, Steve, Devin, Barb, Ellis, Jerry, Kathy, Brenda, Gertrude, and all who are ill or recovering. Do not let them be overcome by grief or pain. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, teach us to love you above all things. Prevent us from gaining possessions but losing our salvation. Help us to use for your purposes the talents, money, and opportunities you entrust to us. Accept our offerings as signs of our thanksgiving. Grant us seasonable weather and bless those who grow our daily bread. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, send your Spirit to prepare our hearts to receive Christ's body and blood. Forgive our sins, unite us in faith, nourish us so we can live for you, and sustain us from now until the end, to the day we die. Thank you for the cloud of witnesses. Thank you for the cloud of witnesses who have gone before us, including Charlie, who we remember and with gratitude. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, do a new thing among us, as you have promised. When we are in error, correct us. When we lack love, renew us. When our faith falters, strengthen us. When we are distracted, focus us. Prepare us to suffer persecution, and grant perseverance and relief to those who are now suffering for their faith. Bring an end to rebellion in your vineyard, and send your Son to usher in your new creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All things we pray by the Spirit, your Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Upon us, O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the
sin of the world. take, drink. This is the true blood of Christ, shed for you. Forgiveness of all your sin. You have received the body and blood of Christ to enter the vineyard, knowing that he is going to die for his peace.
I hide my blushing face while his dear cross appears. Dissolve my heart.
You have received the body and blood of Christ. Christ to enter the vineyard, knowing that he desires for you. Go in his peace.
Amen.
bless his holy supper here. We taste his love so sweet, so near. His word proclaims and we believe that in this supper we receive. To believe that we may worthily receive your supper and in you find rest. Thy glory towering o'er the wrecks of time, light of sacred glory.
You have received the body and blood of Christ, and Christ who made you come into your knowing that you will die for you. Go in his peace.
The cross forsake me, lo, it glows with peace and joy. When the sun of bliss is beaming,
thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Now lettest
thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you should strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless be the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.